Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The president has almost been in office for 100 days. And of course, everybody is rating his performance, like on American Bandstand when they used to rate records. We're going to welcome to our show right now the co-chair of the RNC, Bob Poduchik, to talk about his rating system. Hey, Bob, how are you?
Hey, Sue, I'm doing really well. Thank you for allowing me to be on and share the morning with the folks in Scranton.
Absolutely. So if you were hosting a rate a record right now, Bob, and Donald Trump was a record, how would you rate him?
Well, I think it's important to look at this in context of what the Democrats have been doing. I mean, since the election, from the ridiculous recounts to trying to hijack the Electoral College and the 60-some members of Congress that boycotted the inaugural ceremonies, they've done everything they can to kind of push this president down and keep him from getting things done. And in that context, it's remarkable what he's accomplished. There have been 13 different Congressional Review Acts. Now, not to get into the obscure legislative space of how they do these things, but the Congressional Review Acts, or CRA, are used to stop bad laws or regulations that are put in place where government is interfering in people's lives. So he's passed 13 of those in the first 100 days. He's done 32 executive orders, which were 150% of what Obama did in the first 100 days. And he signed 28 bills into law. And most importantly, you know, we've got a conservative originalist on the U.S. Supreme Court, all this within the first 100 days, which I think has been a remarkable accomplishment, especially in light of the lack of cooperation he's got from the Democrats.
Yeah, certainly placing this jurist on the Supreme Court is obviously, this is a triumph any way that you slice it. And I thought it was a little bit embarrassing the way that he was treated, but I guess that was in retaliation for what the Democrats saw happen last year to Merrick Garland, where they thought he was treated poorly. So I guess this was some kind of payback. But Bob, I think the thing that's most interesting, and I know this has nothing to do with the 100 days, is the next jurist to go will probably be where this gets to be a real dogfight, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Which makes you really question what the Democratic strategy was on filibustering Justice Gorsuch. It just didn't make any sense, and it puts middle of the road Democrats like Bob Casey in a bad spot when the Democratic Party has gotten so far left that they think that it's a requirement for every Democrat to be pro-abortion, and it's a non-negotiable issue. That really puts you know, moderate Democrats in a bad spot. Now, a lot of them no longer serve in Congress anymore because they've been purged out of their party. But it's got to be really tough to be a middle-of-the-road Democrat these days when your party has gone so far left.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that has affected Bob Casey, where I believe that he has moved a little more to the left in his approach to things. And he used to be a guy who was, I thought he was reasonable, but now some of the stuff that he comes up with in the press releases he sends is, it's really more bombastic than it used to be.
Well, and he was a no vote on Justice Gorsuch, which, again, doesn't really make any sense because, if you look at his credentials and the ratings and support he had from the American Bar Association, which is by no stretch of the imagination a bastion of conservatism, here's somebody that is a good, solid justice, and the only thing that you have against him is the fact that he was nominated by a Republican president. And I get that the Democrats can feel a little bit bent or out of shape, but, you know, if you want to go back in the grievances, you can go all the way back to Robert Bork and Clarence Thomas and all the way through that how Republican nominees have been, you know, mistreated all the way through. But it creates a tough environment to get things done here in Washington, because you would expect that there are some things that President Trump talks about that Democrats ought to be supportive of. You know, border security, putting America first, putting Americans back to work. You would think that they would want to be on board with this.
Where we live, and you're probably aware of this, Bob, many people credit Donald Trump's performance where we live in Luzerne County with his win of Pennsylvania and possibly the presidency. In fact, there's a guy named Ben Bradley Jr. who you may know, and he's writing a book about Luzerne County because it's so influential. We've seen international media, national media come through here to find out why this happened. When Donald Trump was appealing to the people he lived here, he spoke very bluntly and forcefully about the forgotten men and women of the country. In terms of that, we were talking a little bit before you got on the air today about tax cuts. We heard on the news that Donald Trump is very interested in corporate tax cuts, but people really need money in their own pockets. And I don't think that they're inclined to care right now about although they may, it may benefit them soon or in the future. Right now, they're really wanting money in their pockets, because we have people here who haven't had raises for 8-9 years, and it's become a real hardship. The thing that also was discussed was that there might be more tax deductions. Bob, these ideas are not very appealing to people who haven't had a raise. How will Donald Trump address these forgotten men and women so that they feel an impact? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think they feel it yet.
Well, we're new into the administration, but let me just say a couple things. I don't want to get out ahead of the announcement today on the tax cuts, but I know that I grew up in Akron, Ohio. My family grew up in Youngstown, very similar demographically to Scranton, having seen some hard times in both the rubber and steel industries in those towns. You need to get the economy going. The type of growth that we've had has just been abysmal for what was supposed to be an 8-year recovery. It's just been a disaster, I believe. And to get the kind of growth that we need is we need companies that are hiring more people, good, solid, well-paying jobs. And so the having an adjustment on the corporate tax is important to do that and stimulate the economy. But I know that there's also an eye towards relief to middle-class Americans. I mean, as you said, that was critical to President Trump being elected. He's not going to forget that, and I expect you'll see those things. And again, I don't want to get too far out on the announcement today, but to get the economy going, it's going to take removing these regulations that Obama has put into place, and President Trump has been very active in doing that. We've seen with the executive orders and the Congressional Review Acts, all of that is sweeping that aside. And this talk of tax reform, you see the confidence, and it's not all about the stock market, but if you look at how the market's reacting, if you look at what manufacturing companies are saying and the outlook that employers are saying in the future, it's extremely positive. I think the policies will catch up with it, and I think the people of Scranton, like the people in Akron or Youngstown or Ashtabula, are going to see that relief.
If there is a corporate tax cut, that would mean, obviously, less money being collected by the government. And how will that be made up?
Well, I don't know that that's entirely true. I mean, a couple things is, one, when you lower the tax rate, it spurs growth and you collect more in tax revenue. But in addition to that, it brings from overseas a lot of this money that's been parked overseas because the corporate tax rate is so high in this country. You lower that corporate tax rate, and the estimate is that there's trillions of dollars out there that will come back to the United States to be invested and be used, that it's just stranded because of the high tax rate that has frozen it overseas like that. So I think that is going to be a shot in the arm in the economy in many different ways, and you'll see that in the job market. Because let's be honest here, in any of these corporations that have been sitting on this capital are looking for the right time to invest it. I mean, companies want to grow and expand and increase profits, and it's sort of economics 101, but eventually that leads to people getting hired and more and better jobs. In line with the president's policies of putting America first and dealing with this trade in a tough way to bring manufacturing back to states like Pennsylvania and Ohio. And that is key. It will be key to the success.
We know that there was this big attempt, and it did fail to do something about the disaster of health care, although I guess
right.
Polling shows that more people are warming up to this health care because maybe they're terrified of having nothing, which obviously I would be terrified myself as well. Can these tax cuts be done without that being done? Because at first we were told, well, we have to address this, and then that went down in a ball of fire, and now we're on to tax cuts. Can that happen this way?
Well, I don't think that repealing Obamacare is done. I mean, looking at again in the context of what the Democrats have been doing and what their allies in the mainstream media have been doing is a constant barrage of a campaign of fear against what might happen if Obamacare is removed and taken away, and they've done a good job of playing that game. But let's be honest, just because they've run a public relations campaign with their friends and it's CNN and MSNBC and the other major networks, it doesn't mean that the disaster of Obamacare has gone away. It's got to be fixed. It's going to be fixed. I think this president has been pretty clear to people of his commitment to fixing it, and I don't think it's a done and buried anytime. I mean, remember, it took the Democrats over a year to pass Obamacare in the first place, and you know we tried to dismantle it, you know, in a fraction of that time. I think that they're making progress moving forward on it. I think you'll see it, but I think this is part of a larger strategy that it'll work out.
All right, Bob, it was great to talk to you today. RNC co-chair Bob Poduchik, it's great to have you on the show. Thanks.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.